Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
Hi there. Welcome. Kate Daly Show, last hour on a Friday. And you know, the detours we take on Friday shows are sometimes interesting and unique. And this hour is no different. And I'm so glad to take on some of the subjects that we take on this show. And we have through all the years, almost a decade now of shows, because we're able to take on what we need to listen to. Sometimes might not be, you know, something we want to hear, but we also need to hear, especially in our society today. And in the last hour, I covered coronavirus. Is there a lot of hype to this? Is it real? What's going on? Make sure and get that podcast of the recorded live show that'll be up tonight. I encourage you to do that. Also, make sure that you go to the website, katedalyradio.com. You can get the podcast from today's show. And I have a special guest that I want to talk to in this hour and really help us understand a little bit more about this issue, because it is so big. And I welcome to the show Andy Berger. Andy Berger, welcome.
Thank you, Kate. Pleasure and honor to be on.
Absolutely. My pleasure, really. A Fragile Thread of Hope is her book, A Fragile Thread of Hope. And knowing about Andy and her story, which is what you're going to get to hear about, and this is truly going to be a gift in this hour, because we really do need to understand what is actually going on here, the problem, how we can identify it, and a real life-changing lesson. And Andy, in this book, this new book, talks about the first 17 years of her life, defined by abuse and human trafficking, victimized by her own family, and then what led to her being having the triumph part of her life in dealing with these things and what she did. She comes to us from Oregon, and I'm super happy to have you on the show, Andy. Your story, was it hard to get to a point where you could verbalize and tell this harrowing story of your own life? Was it hard to get to that point, or was
Absolutely.
It easy?
Absolutely. It was. Oh, no. No. It was definitely one of the hardest things. In fact, when I thought about the many books I want to write,
sure.
It definitely was not the one.
Right. I mean, that'd be tough.
For such a time as this. And so thankfully, a friend of mine introduced me to my writer, Kay Farish, and, mm-hmm. and she understood a lot about this type of subject and took a very challenging, very distasteful subject and turned it into something that was teachable and palatable
like
and that could be understood easily. But
right.
You're right. There are a lot of things in this book I would never have said publicly, even though I've told parts of my story mm-hmm. for many, many years when I spoke. My husband didn't even know some of the things, and we've been married almost 20 years.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I really felt like if I am to help someone truly, I have to be just as transparent and vulnerable as I would expect them to be. And the kids we rescue or the people that are the walking wounded in this country, there are a lot of people that are just going on with life despite their trauma, their mm-hmm. their violations, their victimizations. And so my hope with the messaging was that one, people would realize who these kids really are on the street, whether they've been trafficked or abandoned or preyed upon in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that they would also see the hope if we speak up, if we collectively come together as a community, as a nation. And if someone like myself can make it, mm-hmm. then anyone can make it, because
right.
I wasn't anyone special.
Well, I disagree, but I think
you... at that time, you know, just
right,
making
right.
choices, so thank you,
right.
Yes, I get that, but yeah.
No, I understand that. In the book, A Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest to Rescue, tell me about your life early on. What was going on in your life?
Well, early on, in that time, in the 60s and in the early 70s, there weren't places for kids to go. They barely were talking about child abuse in those days, let alone a family or a mother or a father that would, you know, pass mm-hmm. their child to other family members or leave
sure.
them in places where they knew what would happen. understand it. So it wasn't really a commercial trade the way it is today. However, for example, my first memory of my birth mother was around three. Mm-hmm. And I happened to put my hand on the wallpaper with my brother, who was a little bit older. And she turned around with a meat cleaver in her hand, and she started screaming, yelling, stomping her feet, and running at us with that meat cleaver, ooh, chasing us through the house. Our bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And I thought for sure I was going to get sliced up and die that day, because that's how she reacted. Wow. or chose to act.
Jeez.
So that's it. Mm-hmm. Most people's moms, you probably don't have that same memory.
Probably not. At 3 years old, I can't imagine that. And did she have issues going on? Did she have mental illness? Was there something going on with her?
I have no idea, to be honest, even to this day, not really sure. I think, Kate, that in some ways, you know, we have free will. Some mm-hmm. people choose to use that for good.
Yep.
Some choose to do it for evil, and some do nothing at all with it.
Right.
And in her case, my birth father, the other family members, you know, my birth brother, they all committed those acts against me. Mm-hmm. I was five. She made it clear that my days were numbered. She could kill me any day she wanted, and she had tried. So I thought I would just beat her to the punch, and that was my first attempt at suicide at the age of five.
Wow. Did you realize the PTSD that you had as a kid, or was just this just normal? Did you realize it was different than other kids, the thoughts and feelings you were probably having on a continuous basis? Or did you realize,
Not really.
Okay.
Not the way we would today, because, remember those days, boy, you were threatened. You couldn't talk to anyone.
Right.
You couldn't tell your secrets. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I was in my teenagers, and I don't think I knew of anyone that would ever talk about, post-traumatic stress syndrome, because, first of all, no one would have believed that on the outside, these people who looked normal had jobs. She was a teacher. My birth father was a salesperson. There was a house. There was some food in the house. Mm-hmm. So nobody would believe a child at that time saying, this is what they do. This is how she touches me, or this is what he does, or mm-hmm. this is, they throw my brother against the wall, things like that. So it was almost ritualistic or sadistic.
Wow.
So you move forward to a couple more attempts, and mm-hmm. in my life, so at five, in my life, God interceded. Mm-hmm. I looked up into this huge sky, and somebody had to make the sky, and they must be bigger than the pain and the suffering I'm going through. But I didn't really know, and I just felt like in my heart that, God was saying, this isn't the plan I have for you. And so clearly, mm-hmm. I didn't proceed. But I did, in my own little heart, decide that if I was alive, or if I stayed alive, I would do whatever I was called to do in this life.
Oh, I love that.
And so, fast forward to 17, which was the last time my birth mother tried to kill me by choking me to death, almost. And I just threw myself into education and work, and realized that even though I had turned 18, I was still mentally a hostage. I was still emotionally and, mm-hmm. and just other ways a hostage from the self-talk, from the batterings, from the emotional abuse, and, being called stupid and,
wow.
All these other names I won't repeat, but
right. sure.
just knowing sure. that I wasn't worth anything.
Jeez. Abused sexually and emotionally. Was this multiple people within inside the, extended family, immediate family?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, all immediate family. And then a female cousin, from what I learned later through mm-hmm. therapy and counseling. And then I remembered an uncle, the piano teacher's husband, a doctor I was taken to. So it was not just confined to mm-hmm. the family, but that was the primary.
Wow. And it was you and your brother?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had an older brother, 4 years older.
Wow. Did he find the same sort of, not answer, but the same kind of thing you did on your path? Did he get that same thing, or did he go down a totally different path with what happened to him?
He did go down a different path. I believe mm-hmm. you would call it being asexual, just leave me alone, very bright, mm-hmm. genius IQ.
Sure.
I want to work. And when he left the house, he left without me. Didn't even think, to mm-hmm. take me. It was all for yourself, everyone for yourself, just survival
right.
of the fittest.
Jeez. You know, it's such a sad story because I know that a lot of people, even when watching movies about things like this happening in somebody's life and you see them go through their young life and you just wish you could have been there to stand and to help, to do something. Were there little things that you tried to tell people in little ways, tried to have it be known to people that you trusted? Was there anybody in the outside circle that you trusted as an adult that you could try to say something to, or maybe you passed along what you thought was a pretty blatant message, but maybe not a lot of people would have picked up on that?
I think to some extent I did try to escape or run away a couple of times, but did not get very far. I didn't have the means, the resources, probably
It'd
not the street awareness,
yeah.
how where to go, who would I tell? And because I was a minor, I would have been sent back, and then I paid the price to a greater extent when I did try to run away to the babysitters, and when I did try to stay overnight places that she couldn't control, my birth mother.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know when I finally admitted that I had tried suicide, I wrote a friend of hers who was dying of cancer, and I wanted to be encouraging, and so I shared, you know, how I was desperate, but in my life, you know, faith helped, and unfortunately, that person thought she was doing me a favor by telling my birth mother.
Ooh.
Yep. And so sometimes people mean well, but
they don't.
Even when I went to law school, Kate, I saw kids being sent right back to the abuser parent because the judge felt all kids belong, you know, with the mother or the father, and that's just the way it is.
Wow. And I think, too, I think it's important for all of us listening, you know, what can we glean from this? On the flip side of this break, we're going to come back and talk about what happened after all of this. But I think it's what could people have noticed about you? What could they have seen if their eyes had been opened to understanding that you were in a situation that was this dire? What could they have seen about you? What could they have noticed?
Probably a lot of it would have been no eye contact. I was very verbally ahead, so I was quite the chatty person in school, but not personally. So not a lot of eye contact. I did not have friends. I tended to not make friends well. I went to 6 schools between first grade and eighth grade, so I was changed around a lot, and I had to start over a lot.
So a lot of it could have been contributed to, like, you being new. Right.
Exactly. Oh. It was hidden that way. And my parents looked normal at the time, knowing my birth father was Chicago Joe, Mr. Party Guy.
Right.
And my birth mother thought she was Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to come right back. More with Andy Berger, the book, A Fragile Thread of Hope. We'll be right back on the flip side of this break. Hear the rest of her story. It's very intriguing. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Glad to take on issues that you know, they're more rare that we talk about some of these issues of human trafficking on the show. We've talked about it for a number of years, but as the problem grows, as we have a lot more kids jumping on the internet, meeting people that they end up getting together with that might be kind of nefarious, if you will, with the human trafficking problem going on. And we've discussed this with Tim, you know, of course, Ballard. Been on the show numerous times, and so many people have been on the show. But you know, when you hear somebody's story, when we're hearing, you know, especially in this case, Andy Berger's story, a fragile thread of hope, it's so fascinating to me how they pull out of it. And you went through pretty much your entire childhood with sexual abuse, emotional abuse by your parents and extended family, and then first, you know, then of course, at a young age, even you started down the faith road, which really helped you, I think, Andy, right? And this, I think that what comes out of this is always amazing and fascinating to me, that somebody can find that road to pick themselves up, because not everybody does. Not everybody does. What do you think was different for you? What made the difference for you?
that's been a question I've wondered about a lot in my life over the mm-hmm. years. But I think, as you said, that faith, that hope, that wanting to believe there's something bigger, something better out there mm-hmm. than what I was experiencing, because I really thought I would just die a very young life, and that fragile thread. So the longer, the more choices I made that pushed me forward, I call it living forward, the more choices, whether it was school or business or being the best employee or whatever it was, the best helper, the best volunteer, whatever it was, I threw myself into becoming the best individual I could be. Now, I was emotionally naive, but I was mentally ahead. And so that got me into doors I wouldn't normally have gone into. But you know, sometimes people are, well, why didn't you become a prostitute or get into drugs and all that stuff? Well, you know, I'm not Pollyanna, but the truth mm-hmm. is I chose not to self-medicate because I knew if I tried it and mm-hmm. I liked it and it took all the pain away, I might never give it up.
Mm.
And I needed to find control in my life the same way with being sexually promiscuous. I knew if I gave that up mm-hmm. by my own choice, mm-hmm. I might never stop because right. I was so desperate to find one thing or one person that loved me.
Wow.
And so mm-hmm. I did end up not in a great marriage. My first marriage was very abusive, but I've been very happily, amazingly married for 20 years to the best human I've ever met my whole life. So,
that's,
you know,
those
choices led me down different paths and different ways to continue building on my self-worth and my self-image. And honestly, you know, whether someone believes in God or not, mm-hmm. we are all designed for a purpose in this life.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I absolutely agree. And I know with this, you went on to help people with human trafficking, Beulah's Place. Do you want to talk about
yes.
that?
Sure. My husband and I co-founded Beulah's Place in 2008. Mm-hmm. I had a very traumatic brain injury, and I could not work as a corporate trainer the way I had, and traveling across the country doing all kinds of things. I thought, what am I going to do with my life now?
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass that I looked at all these teens. It was a Thanksgiving day. I was serving dinner with my husband to homeless families at a senior center, and we saw these young girls. They had just had babies. They were newborns, and they were children themselves, basically, barely 18.
Wow.
And they were living in their cars. And that mm-hmm. day, Ed and I said, what can we do for these kids? So fast forward to putting out a little website and our vision to the community, and 11 years later, we have Beulah's Place, all volunteer-driven, yet we have this 92% success rate of the kids who go through our program being able to re-enter community successfully, independently, giving back and maintaining their independence. They're mm-hmm. smart, they're determined, but they've been violated, abused, abandoned, trafficked, preyed upon by drug dealers, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the streets to them are safer than where they're coming from.
Jeez.
And I get that.
It's hard to fathom that for a lot of people listening right now. I mean, it's hard to fathom the streets would be, you know, safer, but I get what you're saying though. I mean, you did, you know, you're giving them an adult that is there for them. Did you have that outside of the circle of family and friends? Did you have an adult that there was one adult even that you could go, that you knew was in your corner or would you could count on?
Not really, not till I was in high school. I had a writing teacher, and mm-hmm. she was a great lady, great counselor type person. I could not, of course, share what was going on because I was still living at home. I was still a minor.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did reach out for help, I was told I had to bring my parents with me, which didn't do me any good.
Right.
So it wasn't till I was really in college. And I went through business communications and before law school, and my writing professor, he was one of the main people that influenced my life. And he said, Andy, you're so creative. Go to law school. It will help you write and think about life differently. I wish I had done that. And here he was, this very successful mm-hmm. producer, you know, from Hollywood. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there was more that I wanted to do that I could do. And so there wasn't really one person. I always tell people strangers and music were my second salvations because
wow.
it would be a moment
mm-hmm.
where someone praised me or said, hey, you're awesome, or mm-hmm. you've got potential just for that moment in life.
Right. Oh, wow. And so going through this, I know with Beulah's Place and opening that up to kids, is it hard for them to trust you, to know that you have their best interest at heart after coming from a whole life of not being able to trust a lot of adults in their life? Is it hard for them yes. to trust you?
It is in the beginning. And so let's say you're a teen and you call our hotline or you're referred to us. And mm-hmm. I would say, okay, so Kate, what's happening in your life that you're here today or that you reached out or mm-hmm. that you're on the streets? And I encourage them to just give me the bottom line. And then I'll say, well, you know what? I didn't have that exact experience, but let me tell you where I came from.
Okay.
You know, and what mm-hmm. we're dedicated to doing and why I know that you can do this and that you have potential. And it is hard work. One of the things about healing, Kate, everyone mm-hmm. wants it, but they don't want to do the work.
Right.
And it's hard, but it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you'd even have kids that really even rebelled against what you were trying to do for them in the beginning, but you love them anyway, because you realize that's probably what
sure.
they're doing. Yeah.
Absolutely. They're teenagers mm-hmm. and they have hormones.
Yes.
My husband and I go the rounds. But one of the things we want them to know, no matter what, we mm-hmm. are there as long as you want us to be there in your life, even after they've gone through the program. I mean, we've had 5 go to college already, you know, from homeless mm-hmm. to college, and 2 are buying houses at 24, 25 years old. And so, you know, the ones that choose it, they want to work. They want that second or third chance. We mm-hmm. are their fragile thread of hope. And the thing about threads is, you know, the stronger they become a rope, and eventually you can climb out or you get pulled out, you know, of the situation.
So true.
And so we just nurture them, love them unconditionally. We service their need, food, mm-hmm. clothing, education, jobs, medical, dental, whatever the essential need is. And then we create a plan for them. So we took a huge leap last year, which was our 10th year. We purchased a building, an old building, that we're still raising money to renovate for. But it will be the first at-risk homeless teen community center in our area and a pilot project for other communities.
Interesting.
To help, yes, meet the needs of these kids to reduce the suicide rate mm-hmm. in the younger teens. We've reduced it in the 18 to 20-year-olds through our program, you know, just with our small outreach.
Wow.
Have to get these kids that just give up because they're overwhelmed.
What do you do exactly? Are you taking them in? Are they living there? What exactly goes on day-to-day with them?
What we do for the adult teen, the 18, 19, 20-year-old, we take them and we safe house them with host families. They're mm-hmm. volunteer families. And it's about a 3 to 5 month process. And I work with them every day, or one of our volunteers will work with the teen every day to make sure they're on track with their goals. We have them sign a legally binding contract, and we keep referring back to that through the program. They have mm-hmm. to finish high school. They have to have a job within the first week they're with
right.
us, because structure is so important. You know, for the younger mm-hmm. teens, we can't house them legally, but we still provide jobs, food, clothing, support, mentoring, anything we can do to give that young person a hope and mm-hmm. a purpose and a connection with someone that sees them as a valuable part of community, as the future of our communities.
Wow. I can't even imagine what it's doing for these kids. And, you know, what I find really heroic in this is that there are people willing to stand up and create the environment for them. And I'm always loving when people reach out to other people instead of government involved, because the show talks about government involvement so much. And it's so difficult, I think, with all of the things that they represent when they get involved. But I think people to people is such an interesting concept and also such a needed one. And I love that you're reaching out and finding these kids. And how do they find you? How do they know you're there?
Many times through interviews, I speak at schools, I'll speak to churches, I'll speak to social organizations, mm-hmm. anyone that will have me. I speak across the country, so that part of it. And then also get referred from Department of Human Services, DHS,
I see.
Child Protective Services, mm-hmm. From different other organizations that don't have a program like we have, where we get to the roots. Maybe they have a temporary situation,
mm-hmm.
but they're not actually getting to the root of how do we rehabilitate or reintegrate these kids back into community and prepare them for young adulthood. So mm-hmm. we get referrals from schools all over, even other business people who say, hey, my kid goes to school with someone and we think that, da, 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 da,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a kid that's always at our house eating dinner, spending time until he has to go home or she has to go home.
Right.
So we try and work the best we can, considering we're all volunteers.
Boy, I think that's really neat. The book, A Fragile Thread of Hope, and I'm talking with Andy Berger. And I think one thing that you said right before the break, on the last break too, is really vital, and that was what to see. How do you open your eyes to this? And if you wanted to kind of go through that just for a minute or two before we break, sure. And leave you, but I really do want people to understand what they should be looking for.
There are a lot of things that right off the bat, you see maybe an adult and a child or a teen that don't quite fit together. Maybe the girl is dressed a little differently than you would normally dress for a 14 or 16-year-old or 18-year-old. Maybe the body language is such that you can sense or feel that they're not really connected either in a familiar way or a boyfriend-girlfriend way. Maybe the guy is a little bit older. Usually they have dirtier clothes. They're not no eye contact. They're very insecure. They are afraid. They're fearful. You can feel that fear on them. They may be roughed up a little bit. So it kind of depends on all situations. And the traffickers are very stealth because right now it's been a free-for-all for a long time, but we're slowly getting a better handle on it. But I always say, if you see something, say something. If you're wrong, then yay, good for us. But if you're right, good for that potential victim that you just saved by speaking up.
I think
ask your local authorities what to do.
I think that that just opening our eyes and noticing, I think sometimes it's hard to notice. And I feel like, be aware. Be aware of what's going on around you. If something doesn't look right or you feel it in your gut. I always go with the gut thing,
yes, absolutely,
too. I appreciate you, Andy. Andy Berger, and the book is a Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest to Rescue. And appreciate your story. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kate.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Bring a little bit to this so we can get people thinking about it in those terms. It is always a great thing. And thank you. Thank you for your story. I'll be right back on The Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
To see what getting
now.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a holistic kind of guy, my whole life. And I just felt like you're supposed to hurt. You're supposed to ache. You're supposed to feel like, you're getting old. But that's not the case. I don't feel that way anymore. It's been because of this product. And the biggest thing is I don't get up to go to the bathroom like I did before. I seem to get a better night's sleep. I really do. I just think, this Balance of Nature just took it to the next level.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com, and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Show. Are we really at the last segment today? Just has gone by so quickly. It really has. It's gone by quick. You're welcome to call up. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. I'm happy to hear from you. And can't wait to hear what you have to say. And it really is kind of a sound off. I started out the show today talking a little bit about Romney and the group that he's in. And it's the Rule of Law Republicans. And this is funded. And it's helped by, in part, funded. Funded by the ultra-liberal eBay guy, Pierre. And it's also, it goes through a group called Defending the Democracy Now. They don't even understand we're a republic. And how groups like this are so harmful because they only have one focus. And that focus is to use their political clout for an agenda. and to serve up to the deep state. Even Mike Lee, Senator Lee, was talking about the deep state today, and how the deep state is sort of behind this whole impeachment, sham that's going on right now. And we were talking yesterday about warning about the fact that we should all be worried if they're able to do this based on what they have, because that means that, I mean, the system's already, the judicial system's already hanging by a thread. We already see people going scot-free, hi, Clintons, that deserve to be behind bars. And then this would just be an insane, blatant act, right, of just absolutely ignoring the process altogether. And I realize it's political theater, and I realize it's served up to us citizens to keep us occupied and divisive and engaged in it. CNN's clear message in the headlines today is this message: believe in this impeachment. Believe in it. Believe in it, because we know you don't. So we actually have to make sure that you do. And they are touting everything that's being done as this is beholden to the Constitution and beholden to the truth and all of these messages. You have the group that Romney's a part of that is kind of a never Trumper group, that their sole focus is to get Trump out of the White House. And it's basically like, running ads and telling you that President Pence should be the president and that the nation would do so good, right? That's the selling. That's the selling of the marketing of the messages. Oh, see, he's less divisive. You'll like him better. We can all come together on him, right? This is much less actually about Trump than it is about what the citizenry is going to tolerate and what they're going to let the system do. And right now, we have a lot of people in government using that particular system in a pretty nefarious way. And as we watch this all play out, and as CNN is telling us that we have to believe in it, kind of like believing, like Obama used to tell us to believe in climate change, because they knew it wasn't real. So they've got to get us to believe in it. They've got to sell it, and they've got to sell it with CNN anchors telling you that that witness sure was good. They didn't say anything, but they sure were good. I mean, that's the kind of nonsense. So with that playing out, with all of the headlines directed toward that, we've got the headlines of the coronavirus, which I talked about in the last hour. A lot of hype behind the coronavirus right now. Do I believe that something could be unleashed? Absolutely, 100% I do. But I think this is the slow trickle right now that we are involved in, especially in this last 20 years of the big thing coming that people fear. And I think it desensitizes us to government stepping in to be the savior. And is it a pandemic? I don't think so. That's my gut feeling on it. I could be totally wrong, but it's my gut. I don't know how you feel. Do I know they've engineered mosquitoes? Do I know that they've been working on things for a very long time to do some pretty mass damage? Do I know that Bill Gates, who's partnered with the CDC, do I know that he is working on 300 different inoculations? do I know that diseases get patents? And do I know that they take diseases out that we used to have and regurgitate them into new names? Yep, I know all of that. But I, at the same time, I have to go a little bit with my gut too on things going on, and I do think that this will be in the press. It'll be a big scare. I think they condition people as far as quarantine. Quarantine can mean a couple of things. It can mean just travel, or it can mean that they're quarantining you in the house. Two different things. But I'd like to hear you weigh in on a couple of these issues for sure. 888-673-1450. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Okay. Great.
Hi there. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Yes, your senator and my senator could pull a Thelma and Louise in a Ford Thunderbird anytime they're ready. mine being from Alaska,
right?
And yours,
yeah.
Two birds and a whatever. You know, I hate them both, and I don't understand how they get elected.
I don't either.
And stay in power, you know.
Yeah.
And on your caller, on your guest from the hour before, I was in an abusive relationship like that, and my children were being abused, and I didn't see it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And later, my children, she finally left us, kind of all this kind of came out. My children were angry at me, and they still are, for not seeing what was happening, divorcing this woman.
Wow.
And I want to tell people to look for the clues. For me, it was finally a bite on the arm of a child, and then the mother had said that the other child had hit, and then, you know, through some math, mm-hmm. I could tell that that was not the mother. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mother.
Right.
And that's what raised the first step. But, you know, going to work every day, you're coming home, don't understand why somebody's silent or why they're not dressed or there's not food ready. And so I just want to employ men that, you know, your children will be really angry at you for not going through with this and mm-hmm. doing the painful work of a divorce or a separation or calling the law or whatever has to happen to
sure.
the bottom of what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. Your phone's kind of cutting in and out. I agree with what you're saying, and you know, we need to open our eyes a little bit more on a lot of issues. Thank you for that. I really appreciate the phone call today. I wish you weren't cutting out. Sorry about that. But I do. We really do need to open our eyes and sort of red pill ourselves, don't we? In politics and everything else, it's kind of like this sham group, this very, very kind of shadowy group, the Rule of Law Republicans, that I think hijacks the message of what I think a lot of conservatives are all about, and that is that this little group is interested in anything but liberty, and it's hard to open our eyes to see that there's wolves in sheep's clothing in a lot of different areas, right? And like the gentleman caller said, it could be in your own home. A wolf in sheep's clothing could be in politics. It could be in a lot of different areas. And we just really need to be a little bit more red-pilled and a little bit more aware and willing to call it out aggressively now. I think we have a hard time doing that sometimes because you think that it's going to... I don't know. I don't know what the fear is anymore, actually. I don't know why we fear so much. Why do we fear that? There's always going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. And sometimes it's not... Well, in Romney's case, I have to say, I think he's been that, obviously, for a really long time. I just think we didn't want to wake up to it. I think we just had such a hard time seeing it because of the nice picture that was represented, right? It's a nice picture. But underneath that, not so great. And we have to be able to see that somebody's motivations, because I think it's so blatant, actually. I think it's right out there. I was talking about the Revolutionary War when we opened the show. And I know that's kind of not a usual topic, the Revolutionary War. But I know that Washington had a tough time trying to understand who was really who was really a patriot and who was really a loyalist. And at the time, and we had the same kind of divide that we have now in politics. Nothing really has changed. It hasn't changed since the dawn of time. It hasn't changed since the Revolutionary War, that it's the same kind of fight and battle. And it was harder even then because we didn't have all these generations of, freedom loving Americans. He was trying to actually go into battle, not knowing who was going to turn on him at any moment, not knowing who was working on from the other side. And I'm sure that that was very difficult. It was tough. It was tough, just like it is now. But I think calling out these people and identifying them is really, really important. And we really need to do it. We really need to say it's okay to do that. And I think we're better people for it instead of trying to be so tribalistic. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi.
Awesome, awesome show today.
Thanks.
For what those little pieces that I caught of. however, just some thoughts on, mm-hmm. on what you were just saying and commenting on. For the most part, I really feel that Americans want to see the good in people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is it's kind of our Achilles heel.
Yeah, it is.
Because we're always looking, we're always giving them so many chances because
uh-huh.
we want them to improve. And you know, we get, we can identify that I've been through something similar and,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to work through it. They're going to get it. But you have to recognize that. And because, the things that I work with and the people that I see, it is so indoctrinated, not just one generation,
mm-hmm.
but many generations.
Mm-hmm.
And like your lady that was saying, with the abuse, that I'm going to guess that her parents were abused the same way.
Yeah.
And when we look at some of the people who, you know, we would, it makes our stomach turn to hear about the things that they've done to small children. That probably happened to them.
Yeah.
And we don't really think about much, you know, with that. But how, looking forward and how our population has changed and how we've encouraged and tried to help our youth or help, you know, society, we really need to focus on the family and saying, how do we not only help the young child change that mentality,
mm-hmm.
right, and go mm-hmm. from this abusive or possible intergenerational poverty mindset, how do we teach them, but then pull the family with them?
Right.
And really get an education mm-hmm. for the whole family to say, how can we help your communication as a family improve? How can we help your behavior improve? Let's talk about your addiction. Let's talk about your mental mm-hmm. illness. We need to really go and, you know, we've done such a great job of splitting up families.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to focus on pulling the whole family along and saying, as we need to make our families healthy again. We need yeah. to make them stronger again.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated your interview with that woman. That mm-hmm. was amazing.
She's
and it's so
great.
Frustrating to see DCFS just continually put them back with the same abusive family
yeah.
because they think that somehow magically things mm-hmm. are going to change, but all they do is send a caseworker in like once a month. Oh, yeah, okay, it's clean. Well, I had a pre-announced visit.
I know. And, the government rarely gets it right. In the story of Kylie that's going around right now, they took her away from her mother and decided that she was going to have surgeries and decided her life and her mother was cut out. And
yeah.
and so you yeah. see both spectrums of extreme, right? They're either letting yeah. them get abused again or they're letting them or they're taking them out of a situation and making these executive decisions and meddling in people's lives that shouldn't have been meddled in. This is why the government is never the answer, especially in a case like that. In any of the children's cases, I think that it would be people helping organizations helping to identify problems. I put a lot more faith in people helping to solve those problems than government, because government is in the extremes. And it isn't good for our kids either. And they are horrific
so
at their job. They're
yeah,
horrific
and
that.
And even with the political process, because you have,
yeah.
again, people who have been indoctrinated and they have been taught, all you need to do is sit home and collect that
yep.
check and
yep.
different things happen to you. And when they are given freedom, it blows their mind.
That Texas judge... That talked the Texas judge that talked in Texas to their DCSF, I can't remember the name of it, was horrified at the amount of authority they gave themselves. You know, so you have both sides of the spectrum.
Yeah.
It's horrific, and this is why
yeah.
are we always relying on government to step in? Like the government knows what to do. Like they're going to do it any different? Or do it better? I never understand that kind of thinking. They either have way too much authority or they do nothing. It's
exactly.
It's horrific. Thank you for your call. I love it. Thanks so much for the support of the show. I really appreciate that too. I can't believe the show's done. It's just so crazy today. It went by really, really quick. I will put up the podcast. Thank you for the calls. I really appreciate you hanging around for the whole show. I really appreciate that. Be faithful, be fearless, be back on Monday, and more guests next week. I think just keep in mind to just, I think be a little bit more aggressive in looking around and also looking around at the wolves in sheep's clothing that seem to be permeating politics, and call them out. Don't worry about tribalistic views. Let's root all this stuff out. Let's really expose all the stuff going on. Everybody have a great one. See you at the end of the weekend.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I'm very, very athletic. I play ice hockey 2 or 3 days a week. You know, I'm in good shape for my age. You know, I keep up with the young kids. But, you know, I get tired, muscles get sore, I'm achy. So I notice just by taking this product for a month, I'm not as tired as I used to be or fatigued. Muscles feel good. I feel like my stamina is better than it was. I just feel better than I did. And I wasn't really complaining before.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code CANYON.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 93.1 FM, Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS HD4 Leeds.